episode 2 of Double Depresso. I am Ben Turner, and I just wanted to say thanks for all your support and feedback so far. I really appreciate it. And I also just wanted to mention a few notes before I play my chat with Hannah. So this will be a weekly podcast. I forgot to mention that in the first episode. So please subscribe to it if you are listening through iTunes, because that pushes the podcast up the rankings and helps more people find it. And if you have time, please leave it a review if you like it as well. And if you haven't liked the Facebook page, please do that. And the podcast is also available on the Omni Discovery feed now, which, if you don't know what that is, it's a bit like the Spotify Discover Weekly thing. So please check that out there. And yeah, so here is my chat with Hannah. I am chatting with Hannah, and you're a singer-songwriter from Germany.
Yes.
And you've been very kind to donate your time to have a chat.
Well, thanks for having me.
No worries. And I want to ask you, so what are some of the things that you are dealing with as a musician?
Well, I have a lot of like mental health struggles that sort of overlap with making music.
Yeah.
And in various areas of making music, so whether it be live music or recording or songwriting itself, so it's all very mixed up, I think, which is why I really like the idea of this podcast, because I think that a lot of people or a lot of musicians have some sort of issues that play into the whole music thing, and I don't really hear or see a lot of talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it's pretty important, and yeah, maybe somebody will hear this and feel a little less alone with that sort of mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, and you had mentioned before we started recording that nerves can be a problem for you when you're performing. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about how being nervous affects you in some of your situations as a musician.
Yeah, I have very bad stage fright, which stopped me from playing music live at all until a few months ago, when I started out, and it does have an effect on my performance too, because I sometimes forget to breathe properly, or my voice gets shaky, or I forget lyrics, or, I mean, that doesn't happen that often anymore. It's mostly the shaky voice thing that affects me, and the shakier my voice gets, the more nervous I get, really. And and it also, it's not just the live performance, it's also yeah, it's a sort of nerves thing too. When I record, I get really nervous because I'm about to hear how I sound like on record, and get really nervous that it's gonna sound really shitty and that I'm just like an imposter trying to like that I can't actually play music.
Mm.
So it affects the whole recording thing too quite a lot.
Yeah, I find in my experiences with that as well, it's very easy to think about some bad past experiences of where something has gone wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
And then it's so easy to go to that right before you're about to play, and then you're like, oh shit, this is going to happen, that's why I'm nervous, I don't know what's going to happen. In my experiences, that's happened for me, where I just go straight to a bad experience. And have you, like, is that something that happens for you as well? Like, where you to a particularly bad experience, and then...
Yeah, it's a lot, like, especially if, like, I played an open mic last week, for example, and it didn't go quite as planned, because I was very distracted and very not in a good, in a very focused state of mind, so I didn't play as good as I could have. And so I know that the next time I'm going to be playing, I'm going to be thinking about that a lot, because I know how, you know, unhappy I was with my performance and how kind of like upset I was about it. And that's very likely going to make me even more nervous and probably going to screw my performance up a little. So it's kind of, I have to get on a good streak of good performances and then I get better every time, but if I have a bad one in between, I kind of have, it kind of throws me back to, well, not zero, but like, it's quite a throwback in terms of progress with dealing with stage fright and performing in general.
Yeah, and you mentioned the experience of going to open mic nights or participating in open mic nights. And as being a trombonist, obviously I don't have experience in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, I know having an open trombone night, would, I don't know if a lot of people would turn up to that. But
I would probably not.
But yeah, maybe, I imagine that is a bit of a stressful experience if it goes, even if it goes well, like it's because you just don't know. It's a, it would, is it an experience where like you just don't know what's going to happen because it's so like, it's a bit, it, like the structure of how the night sort of unfolds.
Yeah.
Is a bit, what are some of your experiences with that? So can you maybe give us a snapshot of maybe a, like when you've had an uncomfortable experience, not necessarily like what would be a bad experience, but something that's uncomfortable on there.
Well, sometimes at open mic night, or it's always a bit hit or miss because sometimes the sound is really bad, so you can't really hear yourself while you're playing, which makes it very hard to, you know, be confident about what you're doing if you can't hear if it's actually good or bullshit. And it's also just sometimes very awkward if you don't really get the vibe of the people there, or if they're just on a very different sort of wavelength as you, or if it's just, yeah, sometimes you get that feeling of just being at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, that can be very uncomfortable.
Sorry.
It's just very awkward sometimes when you're just there and you're, because my music is more on the sad or melancholic side of things, and then you're there with people who play very happy songs and you're just sort of like, okay, this is... And you feel like, also, you feel like, I mean, a lot of... I often get that feeling that the people at open mics who come to listen more enjoy the happy side of things, so the happier songs are more cheerful, more upbeat, whatever, and then you come along, you go on stage and you start playing these sad tunes and they're just like, okay...
Yeah,
I came here to be happy and have a good time, and now you're doing this to me, and
yeah,
it just feels very awkward sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I guess it's the same with, you know, like in a different way, I guess, with some of my experiences with performing as well. Like you don't know if they're gonna like. Look, it depends on what type of music you're playing. Like whether or not they're gonna get it, or you know, like what's gonna happen, you know, and that maybe whether or not it's there, you know, if. You know, that the whoever is sitting in the audience, maybe that's their own like issues. They're like whether or not they're getting it or not is their opinion. But it's hard to get to that level of just not kind of worrying about that in the first place. You know, because obviously that's the, you're there to be, you know, they're there to watch and see something and have a listen. And just going back a step with some of the things about nerves. So you mentioned just that it's. Thinking about how it went and this idea of you wanting it to go well, but also that sometimes affects that burden of perfectionism as well, like where you're like, oh, this needs to be perfect, you know, and this, and how, like, when has that been at its worst? Like, can you give me an experience of when you've had a bad experience of just I keep wanting this to be perfect, but it's being it's such a problem for it to. Really getting some good work done? Like, when is the, like, trying to perfect something being a bad situation for you?
It's like every time I record, more or less, because well, I'm very I do get, because I'm not really a trained singer, so I do have a lot of like bad voice days basically, and it's always a matter, you know, I always try, but sometimes it just doesn't work out and I'm not satisfied with the way it sounds, or sometimes I record something and I'm like, in that moment I'm like, okay, this is probably as good as I can get it to sound, and then a while later I go back and listen and I'm like, okay, this is actually really crap, so I just re-record things a lot, which can be very, very frustrating. frustrating when you've already spent so many hours trying to, you know, record something, and then you go back and you're like, this is shit, I have to do it again. And since I don't really enjoy the process of recording, it's even more frustrating because I know that more painful hours of being hard of myself on myself await me, and being just frustrated with my process. And I think on my second album there was one song that it was like one of the first ones I recorded for it, and then after I had all of the other songs done, I went back and listened to it. I was like, you know, I will have to record this entire song again because I'm not happy with it. And it's especially if you like, I do in my music, I layer a lot of things, so I have to record multiple, sometimes also like multiple instruments, no matter what I, or depending on what I can get my hands on. And then multiple voice tracks and multiple guitar tracks, and it just, that alone, if I would manage all of that on first take, it would take a while. And considering I never really get anything done on first take, it just takes forever, and it's just not a fun time, really.
Yeah, right. And you mentioned that listening back is also can be like a grueling experience as well. But isn't that the thing as well? You know, like when you, it should be like, it's obviously essential to listen back to yourself. But then that isn't that the thing as well, because you know maybe that there's something that is either going to be uncovered, or you're just thinking over and over again about like what is like, is this good enough yet? Is it good enough yet? Is it good enough yet?
Yeah.
And it goes on and on, you know, and in that experience, in the recording experience, like, do you have like, when, like, how often would you have a moment where you think, okay, this is fine, I can do this, this one's good, and then like, is it hard to get to that point of where this is enough? And then,
it's pretty hard because it's very often that, like, even when I'm satisfied with the way my voice sounds, that I, at the end of one take, find that I'm not happy with the way I, because, you know, I'm not a native speaker, so my pronunciation varies ever so slightly. So sometimes I record something and then I realize, oh shit, you pronounced that one word really, really awkwardly, or it just doesn't sound right. So, or it's just that one note doesn't sound really the way I want it to sound. So I usually go back and record the whole thing again, because it's, you know, just recording one note or one word usually doesn't really work out that well. It just, you can, or at least I can always hear it when I take one line and re-record only that one and then cut it into the rest. Of course, I could technically just do that, and it would probably save me a lot of time, but the times that I have done it, I can still hear it, and it bothers me a lot. And I always feel like I'm not that good of a musician doing
that.
Though I know that professional actual musicians do it all the time, but I always feel like I'm not good enough to be a real musician, so
I know exactly what you mean with that as well, with it's that sort of getting it from start to finish, and then somewhere in the middle, hopefully, the high point of feeling good about it. You mentioned something really interesting that I think anyone who's a singer who is singing in a language that isn't their native language. So how is that, what's that like for, you know, because I guess there's the singers who, here in Europe, like if you're singing something in English and from other countries, but this also would apply to like opera singers as well.
It's a lot in
Australia as well, like where you have like all these, native, like English speakers who are trying to sing things in Italian, German, French, all that sort of stuff as well. So what is that like for trying, so with the music that you do, what's that like trying to, sing in a language that isn't your native language?
Well, since it's English, it comes quite easy to me because I speak a lot of English at home, and on most days I speak more English than German, I think, at this point. And I do love English a lot, and I enjoy writing lyrics in English more than I would in German, probably. I mean, I've never really tried in German, but I think it would be very awkward, and
yeah,
I think it's a harder language for songwriting in my opinion, and they're very, I mean, there is a lot of German music, but a lot of it is just doesn't sound good to me. But I mean, that's a matter of opinion too. But it's a very interesting experience, I think, more when I talk to other people, because they're always very much like, oh wow, you're able to write lyrics in a language that's not your native, or you're singing in this language that's not your mother tongue, and it's just, they always kind of think it's a bigger thing than it actually is, I think.
Right, okay, well yeah, that's interesting, you know, from my perspective as well. And so have you, so you mentioned you hadn't really had to sing in German that much, like, so that hasn't really, like, you have recently, like, you just, have you ever had, like, would you go into, is there maybe the odd song every now and then, maybe, like, where you do sing in German, or, like, is it just pretty much English?
No, all my music is in English, and I've tried covering one of my favorite German songs, but I found that singing in German in a context that's not, like, classical music, because back at school we used to sing a lot of like classical pieces or songs in German, and that was fine and that felt normal, but singing like a pop song or whatever in German feels really really awkward. So I tried it and it just felt very wrong, and then I just dropped it again because I was like, you know, why bother? Can I just sing in English?
Right, okay. And so what are some of the other things that you might be dealing with as, like, in your pursuit of a career in music? So do you find, you know, so part of this podcast is just, covering some of the other experiences or good or bad times that people have had, like, in the pursuit of a career in the arts or whatever. So this won't be just specific to the arts, but, you know, at the moment we're talking with people who are in the arts. So, like, you know, how have you found this also when sometimes when you go through like a rough patch, like what are some of your thoughts about, like, you know, why am I in this position, and like, so how have you found some of those experiences?
Well, I have, thanks to like depression or whatever, I have very, very, or like just struggles in general, I have very low self-esteem, which I find very inconvenient, because I think in order to, you know, it's always this going back and forth between being like, I can't actually do this, I'm not a proper musician, I'm not good enough at this, I'm well, crap, I'm faking it, basically. This is like one side of the thing, and then on the other hand, there must be some part of me that actually realizes that I can't be that bad, because I do get positive feedback from people. So, and I do get enough, or I have enough self-esteem to put my music out there, which is a thing that requires a lot of that, I think, because it's, especially in my case, very, very personal and very close to me, so getting negative, a lot of negative feedback would bring me down a lot, because it's just very, you know, very close to the heart, really, and so it's always this going back and forth between those sort of extremes, and it can be very, very draining and very exhausting to constantly have those opposing voices in your head going like, you're not good enough for this, but you kind of have to do it anyways. And I often, or like when I'm having a really bad day and I can get really, really depressed about music and making music and wanting this to be a sort of career, which, because it just feels very impossible at times, and on those days I find myself wishing that I could quit music, but I also know that I can't, because it's just I don't know, it's just a thing that I do and I can't really stop doing it, and that kind of holds me back a lot in my process, because when I'm having one of those days where I feel really depressed about it, I can't really do anything, so I can't write songs, I can't record, I often can't even get the energy up to like leave the house and go to an open mic night, or just, you know, make a post on my Facebook page or whatever. I mean, that's also a part that you have to, or since I'm not like a signed musician that has people doing all the dirty promoting work, I kind of have to do that myself, and it takes a lot more energy than I wish it would. And yeah, there is just a lot of things playing into it that I feel are holding me back in my like processes.
Yeah, and yeah.
Sorry, I trailed off.
No, that's really important. And with sometimes I find like the environment of where you're doing it as well can sometimes be influential about where you're at as well. So do you find like being a singer-songwriter, like pursuing that as a career in Germany, for instance, like is there a supportive, like people helping to be like, no, you should keep going at this, you know, because it's like, depending on which country you grow up in as well, that I found that's interesting to hear as well, where, you know, some people like, whether it's, there's the support for people doing these types of careers, like, you know, like in general as a society, the thing as people saying, yeah, keep pursuing this because, you know, like, or, you know, because sometimes you have the other, you know, opinion of people saying like, when are we going to get a real job or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, like, so, you know, and that obviously plays into the self-esteem as well, because
yeah,
you think, oh, you know, like, so do you think here in Germany, like it's a supportive network?
Well, I think it just very much depends on where in Germany you are.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Berlin, it's definitely there, I think, because there are so many artists and musicians here, so you just talk to other creative people a lot, and you realize that you're not necessarily alone with those struggles, but it's also, you know, kind of motivating, or it can be sort of motivating. And I think also in cities like Hamburg, I think that's, and maybe Cologne, I don't really know about Cologne, but I would guess that it's similar there too. I think it's similar there too, but generally I think there's a lot of people. Well, I don't think it depends that much on the country, more on the generation of people. Because when I talk to older people who are not musicians themselves, because whenever I talk to musicians, they're always like, yeah, carry on, do this thing, it's great.
Mm.
But whenever I talk to people like, I don't know, my grandparents or my mom, it's always like, yeah, you know, this is not really a real career you should necessarily be pursuing, so maybe you should go to university or, you know, get a job and get a real job and do something that will ensure you a stable income and a stable lifestyle, and
isn't that the thing, is that so sometimes it's those words from various people can be more like damaging than some people think, you know. It might be just like a sentence, but then it just sort of replays in your head, oh shit, there it is again. It depends on, as you said, like a generational thing as well. Like, there's this idea of, like, perceived stability in a, you know, like, that's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother conversation we could talk about. But,
yeah.
How are some of these struggles, like, how have you found some of these struggles have helped you in your creative output? So, how has that helped you influenced some of the things you have done, like also the songs that you've written, or
It gives me a lot of material to write about.
Yeah,
I do write a lot about, you know, my personal struggles with life and, you know, whatever, like mental health a lot too. So I just have a lot to write about, and I also do think that it, because I think it does help my performance be very very honest in a sort of way, because I do sing about things that are very, very, you know, personal, and performing that to people who I've most, you know, in most cases have never met, can be quite a like intense experience for myself. So I think it does add to it, maybe. I mean, I can't really judge because I've never seen myself from the audience, and I don't really know what other people think. But,
yeah, I don't know. Okay, cool. And you touched on something just important right there. It's like you never see yourself from the audience. You know, that's almost like a profound thing right there. Like it's very easy to see somebody else that way rather than looking back.
Yeah.
Like how it appears what's actually happening with it. Yeah, that's a good point. And who are some of the artists that you look up to or who have influenced you? Whether it be like just in general musically or like have similar struggles or similar backgrounds?
Well, I think all the artists that I listen to frequently and that I really like have a sort of influence on me, but especially recently, Julianne Baker has been a huge influence. She's like a very young singer-songwriter from the US, and she also writes those like very, very honest, very direct sort of songs that I, you know, do very occasionally. And also artists like Elliot Smith or Fiona Apple, who are just very, I mean, they don't necessarily write very direct songs, but if you just get your mind into that setting a little and just see a little, or look a little past, or, you know, between the lines, you find a very, very honest sort of music and sort of songwriting that has a lot of influence on me.
And so who are some of the writers who might have influenced you in your songwriting?
I'm not really sure if I've been that influenced by any like fiction writers that much, because it is a very different sort of writing. Like you have a lot, if you write like a novel or a short story, even, you have a lot more space to like branch out.
Yeah.
And songwriting is a very compressed sort of writing, so you have to fit a lot into very few words. It's very condensed in a way. And but it's also very fun to me, because I'm a big fan of the English language, so getting to write in it and getting to explore like some of the more poetic aspects of it is a lot of fun. Oh, actually, I think it's not so much probably fiction writers that have an influence, it's more poets.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my favorite poets is Rilke, the German, or no, I think he was Austrian, but... But it's very, very interesting for me to sort of read his works, and then because I do write in a different language than him, so it's, I don't know, but it's not very much of a direct influence, I wouldn't say. It's very indirect. Like a lot of things, like everything that I take in as a sort of medium, or like writing, music, movies, conversations, like everything, sort of gets thrown into this big pot, and then, you know, it mashes up and becomes one big mass of things, and then something trickles out, just a few drops, and that sort of becomes a song. But it can have influences from every bit of, you know, things that I've taken in, sort of. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And that's why I asked that question about the singing and I guess in languages, in your native language, because I guess, using poetry from German, like the German language, and putting it into, like, maybe how that influences then how you write in English, you know? So maybe that seems like an interesting twist to how it comes out into what you do.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks so much for chatting. Thanks for being honest with this. And good luck with all of your writing and with your songwriting and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks a lot.